Blog Talk Radio. My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Tell God yes. Make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really going to tell God yes, come on. Make it personal. Lift your hand. Tell the Lord yes. Soul says yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Jesus. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus. You're the first and foremost in my life.
Yeah.
will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit say yeah, yeah, yeah? There is more that I require of you. So let your heart and soul say
Praise God. We just thank God for another day to be amongst the land of the living, to be in his presence. Say, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, God, for this day that you have made, and we're rejoicing with that. And we just give you honor, God, tonight. We praise you, we worship you, we magnify your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this is the day that you have made, and we're rejoicing and be glad in it. God, we thank you, God, now, God, for even calling on us in such a time as this, God, where we can say yes to your will, God, yes to your way, God, yes to your instructions, yes to your plan. So we say, will your heart and soul say yes, and will your spirit still say yes, will your mind say yes? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just give you praise tonight, God. For you are so awesome, God. You woke us up, God, with fresh blood running warm through our veins, God. The activity of our limbs, Lord God. Yes, Lord, we say yes to your will right now, God. We say yes to your direction and to your plan, God, for tonight, God. But we were fortunate enough to make it. And so that, God, we just begin to praise you for it. For that reason alone, God, we begin to glorify your name and honor your name and make your name. We say yes, dear God, to your instructions and yes to your plan. Father, we're just going to thank you, God. We're going to praise you and worship you and magnify your name, Father. God, I can't say it enough, God. Somebody didn't get to that bed last night, God. But everyone on the sound of my voice, God, got to that bed last night, God, and got up this morning and was able to shake whatever had to shake off, God, whatever was going on in their mind, whatever they was going through, God. They can give you the glory for it, God, for you brought them through. They can say, just another day that the Lord has kept me. And you continue to keep us, Father, with a keeping anointing. For that reason alone, we say thank you, God. For that reason alone, we praise you. So I'm giving honor to you this evening, God, and tonight, God, to the one who is head of my life, who is my life, God. I give honor to you, God, for all that you're doing and all that you've allowed us to go through, the hardships, God, the heartaches, the heartbreaks, God. But I tell you what, God, there's a calm in my spirit tonight, God. Only because I know that if you get me through it, you'll get me through it. There's a calm in my spirit, God, because even in my rebellion and even in my darkest days, Father, you allow me the grace, God, to say yes, God, to your will, the grace, God, to receive salvation, to receive deliverance. And not only that, to not only know of you, but an opportunity to know you. So I pray for everyone on the sound of my voice that if you don't know God, get to know him. And if you do know him, get to know him better. We serve a mighty God. So I said, what a mighty God we serve. And Father, I begin to thank you for being the mighty, mighty God. And we praise you for it. We praise for everyone on the sound of us, everyone that's here tonight, God, and every loved one that's represented, God. We praise for the anointing and the rushing mighty wind, God, to begin to blow on them, blow on every dead bone, every dry bone, everything that's around them that's not living. We command it to live. We command it to live. We command everything, their wallets, their health. God, we command life into it now. You said, command me the things that's under the works of my hands. I command life, God, where there's dry bones. I command healing, God, where there's been unhealthiness, God. I command, God, deliverance, God, where there's been bondage, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so it is. And the next voice to hear be none other than my best friend, my girlfriend, my queen, Evangelist Maria Flynn. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We're thankful for tonight. We're thankful for God showing up, already showing up. We just thank God because we know that we serve a mighty, mighty God. God is saying tonight, my plan for your life is unfolding before you. Sometimes the road you are traveling seems blocked, or it opens up so painfully slowly that you must hold yourself back. Then, when time is right, the way before you suddenly clears through no effort of your own. What you have longed for and worked for, I present to you freely as pure gift. I feel awed by the ease with which I operate in the world, and you glimpse my power and my glory. Do not fear your weakness, for it is the stage on which my power and glory perform most brilliantly. As you persevere along the path I have prepared for you, depending on my strength to sustain you, expect to see miracles, and you will. God is saying you're going to see miracles. Hallelujah. Miracles are not always visible to the naked eye, but those who live by faith can see them clearly. Hallelujah. Living by faith rather than sight enables you to see my glory. We have three scriptures on tonight. The first one coming from Psalm 63:2-5. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. John 11:40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God, my God. We just thank God for that powerful, powerful word. And we just know that God is doing an awesome work in us. I know he's doing an awesome work on this blog. And we just glorify him. We praise him. And just let's keep a praise on our tongue and in our minds throughout this night, throughout the rest of this week, and throughout the rest of this month, and throughout the rest of this year, and going into next year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. That's some wonderful words of inspiration. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And Father, we thank you right now, God. Father, we praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. We glorify your name. Father, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and be glad in it. Father, as we move further into your word, God, into what you have ordered and ordained for this night, God, we give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We decrease tonight, God, that you increase. That it be all of you and none of us. That your Holy Spirit have complete control, Father. I remove myself totally from the situation, God, that us have an ear to hear. Everyone else out of my voice, God, I pray for an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the body of Christ tonight, God. And I begin to thank you in advance for what you're doing, God. I thank you in advance for your word, God. And even as you change the course of the word, God, I thank you for that as well. Father, we just praise you for you having your way in our lives, God. And everyone that does not know you as our Lord and personal Savior, I pray, God, the prayer of salvation over their lives that they will get to know you, God. And they will open up their heart and say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you, God. Come into my life, God. Introduce me to you, God, and God, introduce me to life and life everlasting. And God, we thank you for it in advance. Hallelujah. I thank you for saving me, God, and my wife and my children, saving us, sanctifying us, filling with the Holy Ghost, God, Holy Spirit, God. I thank you, God, for bringing us from a mighty long way, God, when we were lost, when we was doing our own thing, God, advocating for Satan and his plans. But, God, we thank you, God, for your plans. And we're going to move mightily, God, as a warrior for you. We begin to give you honor, glory, and praise, God. And I lift up Mr. Jesse Stone, his lovely queen, Evangelist Tammy Stone, the founders of Omega Ministry Group, God. And I lift them up even more so, God, meet every need that they have, God. And, God, continue to bless them in spite of them, God. Bless us in spite of us. Bless us just because of you, God. And God, begin to move on their behalf, God. Whatever need they have, meet every need, God. And give them some of their wants as well, God. I just ask that you bless them just for what they've sold into your church and into your people, God. Thank you, God, for Apostle Rosalma and all those that have been sowing the word of God that's out here. Doing the work of an evangelist, doing the work of a pastor, doing the work of a prophet, doing the work that you set before them, God, not by title, but by the obligation. Saying that, Lord, I'm available to you. Not am I able, but I am available, God. I praise you for that availability, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so it is. Hey, tonight, I need you to help me out tonight, but here's what I want to do. If anyone has a testimony tonight, imagine they want to say, they want to share, they want to speak on, feel free to press 1. I can recognize you and open up the mic for you to speak. If not, I definitely want you to have some words on this, the message that God has given us, and speak on that, speak on your thoughts and your plans. I'm going to share with what God has placed on my heart. And since there's a topic for tonight, here's what the topic is. The value of a thought. How many know that your thoughts have value? So that's why they say when you make a decision, use your thoughts to make a precision decision. That's why, you know, I got a bad habit of speaking sometimes without thinking. My wife said, you just say anything. And so I had to work on some proper responsive etiquette, you know, when I speak. Because some people say stuff to me that's outlandish, and I just respond like, that's the dumbest thing I've heard in my life. I said, you can't say those things, but sometimes you got to think before you speak, and I have real snappy comebacks. And they're sharp, too. Sharp as, you know. But sometimes we just got to cover that. So that thought has value. So if I thought more before I said something, I may have spared somebody's feelings or somebody's heart. You know, so those are the things that y'all got to pray for me about. That tongue is, you know, it's a vicious thing, and I deal with it. But, yeah, pray for me on that. But here's the thing, though. But the value of the thought, my thought for tonight is God changing my course? That's the topic tonight. Ask yourself that question. Is God changing my course? How many of you have been real, I don't want to use the word complacent, but comfortable in your life, comfortable in your salvation, comfortable in your finances, just comfortable, and all of a sudden, that comfortability is shaking. There's a little shaking and a shifting and a rocking and a rolling. And you wonder what's going on. But is God changing your course tonight? As you're exiting 2018, moving into 2019 in the next 2 weeks or so, what is God doing? Is he allowing you to stay stagnant in that same place where you're in? But is he changing your course? Here's a question. Here's another question. Here's just something that's just to feed on. Sometimes, watch this. Sometimes God has to start us on our journey before he changes our course. Sometimes God has to start us on our journey before he changes our course. I can look at myself as, I'm like a Hebrew, a real Hebrew. Like, as a child, I'm a PK. I grew up a PK. And I preached my first trial sermon at the age of 9 years old. 2 years old, I laid hands on blind eyes and received sight. I've done a lot of different things. But in the course of that, I want to do George. Went in the streets, did all whatever I wanted to do, big and bad. Drink my drink. Had my little situation, fornicated and played, hustled. You know, that was my course. But then God said, no, I got something else for you to do. So God allowed me to be incarcerated. And in that time of incarceration, God had me on a 40-day pass, had me reading, had me watch movies, like the devil's advocate, things that made me feel that God wasn't real, and all these different things that he built me. I had a friend of mine that said that's the boot camp. spiritual boot camp, but I just look at the preparing. Daryl Coletta always said he's preparing me for something I can't handle right now. But see, God is preparing us. He's put us on a journey. And that journey right now is to win souls. That journey right now is to tell somebody about the goodness and the greatness of who God is. Tell somebody about his grace and about his mercy. And as you begin to move forward, just introducing somebody to him. But you may be introducing the fish, or you may be just a fisherman, one who catches the fish. But then after you catch the fish, what do you do next? You begin to clean the fish before you can even cook it. So you don't just catch a fish and put it on the grill. You catch the fish, you clean the fish, you gut it. Some people gut them, some people don't, but you clean that fish out, you get those guts and all those things out. And that's what God is saying now. Your journey. Your journey. What if my journey was to be in the streets? Like let's look at the Apostle Paul when he was Saul. His journey was what, ladies and gentlemen, before God changed his course? He was a persecutor of the people that was believers of the way and believers of Christ. He went and got a writ to persecute them, to kill them, to execute them, or whatever it was, until he had his Damascus Road experience. See, God can change your course. Let's look at our brother Job. Our brother Job, right? He prayed, and in the beginning of the book, he told us he prayed, and Job was one who feared God and eschewed evil and all those things that they had good report about him. Everything at the altar, he just began to, you know, put up an altar for his children, asking God to pray for him, for he feared that something was going to happen to him. And here comes Satan. I don't know where, appearing just like everyone else appeared before God and the angels. And God said, have you thought about my servant Job? Job didn't know that was a bet going on between God and Satan on his faithfulness, on how he would be steadfast and unmovable. But that was a wager going on in the heavens on Joseph's steadfastness with God. And in the midst of that, this course was changed so tremendous. And in one day, so much tragedy took place. Children dying, his sheep and livestock was stolen, houses burnt down, all in a day. And God even leave one witness to come and tell him to give him the bad news. At any given moment, Joseph could have been like, I mean, right then and there, his course was changed. You know, so my children, my living, my houses, everything that represented me as a person at who I am or who I thought I was or who my ego spoke of me as. And now, everything has been gone, has been snatched away, has been stolen. Even to the point where he allowed him to touch his health. So you can't kill him, but you can touch his body. So it began to affect his health where boils be on his body. And Joseph came to the point where he said, it's better to have not been born than to be in my state of mind. So his course been changed but Job. And then at the end, God even changed his course even more. He started him on his journey and then gave him what? Double for his trouble. So we serve a God that's awesome and amazing and mighty, but that's, let's look at that. The reason why God changes plans. Because he said, is God changing my course? Where are you right now? Does anybody want to just chime in tonight on where they are and do they have any example of God changing their course or changing their way of life or living or the structure they were going in? If you just press one, if you want to add to it and just speak on it before we move further. If anyone has anything they want to say about it, press one. If not, I'll begin to move further. Here's a prayer, which is, you might not take some little brief notes I'm going to have. Number one, reasons why God changed his plan. Number one, Satan thwarted the plan, right? Let's look at that. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to start in the 13th verse. But we're going to really key in on the 18th. And we also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God concerning salvation, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is effectually in working you who believe, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, because you too suffered the same kind of persecution from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and harassed and drove us out. And they continue to be highly displeasing to God and to show themselves hostile to all people, forbidding us from speaking to the Gentiles, which are the non-Jews, so that they may be saved. So as always, they fill up to the brim the measure of their sins allotted to them by God. But God's wrath has come upon them at last, completely and forever. But since we were taken away from you, believe us for a little while in person, but not in heart, we endeavored with great longing to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again wanted to come, but Satan hindered us. But who is the object of our hope or joy or our victorious wreath of triumphant celebration when we stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? It is not you, for you are indeed our glory and our joy. Is it not you? As we said, is it not you, for you are indeed our glory and our joy? So we look at how Satan brought it. He said, we wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us. How many times you had some things going on and you said, well, but Satan hindered me. I wanted to bless you, but Satan hindered me. I pledged to do certain things with my finances, but Satan hindered me. So God changed the plans, and the reason why God changed the plans is because he cannot continue to let the enemy think that he will be glorified or get the glory. God is saying he will be glorified in him alone, and his glory he will share with no man. So sometimes we can be in a direction and we have our own plans. And so you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So sometimes we have to go around and God has to change our plans. So if God changes your course tonight, if God changes your course tonight, George, and I can say, yes, he has. I remember when God really changed my course even the more so at the age of 14. At the age of 14, I came home from football practice. My mom said, I got something I want to tell you. And then she began to say, I had a son who thinks his daddy is his daddy, but he's not his daddy. So I'm beginning to think about my brothers. I'm trying to think of which one of my brothers fit this criteria. Well, my three older brothers, God bless them, all look like their father. Darryl, Derek, and Tracy. Then I make a Sterling. So I'm saying, you might have a baby that didn't make it, that I don't know about. Because Sterling, he looks like his daddy. He got the two knots on the forehead. They both got the same double knots in there, the whole nine, same type of hair. So, but that goes into my father, but I got his name, Satan. So I named all of them. The last one, she broke down, and she was like, no, it's you. And I remember when I told you I did my trial sermon at 9. So I missed again like at 12 or 13. And I noticed, like it was yesterday, I was preaching, and I had my hands up when they missed the sermon. And my Aunt JJ, she was like, that just looked just like your dad when he was preaching. Now I know from Clint, don't do no preaching. He never did any preaching. So I'm like, what does he mean? And I'm like, Mama, preach Smitty. You know what I mean? They just call me Smitty. I'm like, Smitty, preach. When I was younger, so before I got, you know, because I don't remember him ever knowing that in my life. So then when she told me that my father was somebody else, my life changed. I was no longer George Smith. You know what I mean? I was, but I knew my bloodline changed. Then I found out pieces of my bloodline. I found out that my grandfather was a preacher of the temple. I found out that his mother, my father's mother was a witch. I found out a lot of different things in the elements of things that God began to change, you know. Then after that, things began to manifest. Then the generational curses and all those different things, and to do this and do that. I even found my little siblings. But here's what God is doing. God changed my course. Because I'm going to be honest, at that point, in that hour, I think my mother and my relationship had a turn for the worse. Because I felt betrayed. And then anger built up. But God allowed these things to happen. People say, do you regret the things you've done? And I have to say no, because all this was the making of me. So I have to begin to thank God. Even though Satan meant it for bad, God turned around for good. And as somebody, I know I'm not the only one that has these type of testimonies. I'm not the only one that has been going my own way, and God said, hey, I need to go this way. The only difference is that some of us answer the call, and most often we don't. The phone just continued to ring. But I thank God that I answered the call, and I thank God for choosing me for such a time as this. Let's look at another one. Reason why God changed plans. God wants to bless you with spiritual riches. I'm going to agree with that tonight. And God wants to, he changed the plans and says, I want to bless you. He said, God said, I'm not trying to take anything from you. I'm trying to get something to you. So I can see God said, hey, I'm saying these plans because I want to get something to you. I use my son for an example. He went to school in August. In July, when June, July, we got in different camps. Matter of fact, to perform at his highest capacity, right before the first camp came up, he pulled his hamstring. So now we had to go and get therapy for that. And we thought it was his meniscus again. And so we could only go for so much on his body. And so when we was doing those camps in front of the coaches, yeah, they looked at him. Yeah, he looked like a person that fought through. And it was, yeah, some forms he had that was really good, and some was not so good. And so you look at it. You had schools that called. I mean, he had some schools that was interested. On the Division I level, he was already a full qualifier. And at the time, and he lost the numbers. It was crazy. He lost the numbers to the coaches and everything. And then we went to some more camps. So lo and behold, we went down to a point where panic mode sets. And you know, you get in that mode where you want to panic and you want to feel like, if I don't do this, then nothing's going to happen. So then you go into the settling mode, or the stage of settling. And we went down. We went down to the point of, I'm going to visit this place, visit that place, making my decision. And we put God on the schedule, on the time frame. We said, God, if you don't do it, we put God. That's what we did. God, we're going to give you the 2 weeks to make this happen. And God laughed. He said, okay, you give me 2 weeks. But after the 2 weeks, then I'm going to step in. So after the 2 weeks, we got to the very last day to make the decision. And God said, give me 3 days. So I'm saying, okay, God, but I ain't hearing nothing. You know, I need to give him 3 days, right? So we made the decision to stop. I say how awesome God is. God, you can't even beat God. You can't even, when God want to do something for you, you can't even teach yourself out of it. I look at Abraham and Lot. When God said, I'm blessing you with a blessing, and everyone else that comes that bless you will be blessed, and everyone that curses you will be cursed. But he told them, listen, when he took him out of the land and Lot, or Abraham with him, when he told him, get thee out of the place where your kinfolks are, and I'm going to take you to a place filled with milk and honey. And they began to grow. And they told Lot, he said, man, we're going to have to separate because you're doing well over here, I'm doing well over there, and our servants are going to be having discrepancies and disturbances with each other, physically, altercations and whatnot. So he said, you choose which one you want to go to. So Lot looked at Lot chose first the land. He looked towards the land, towards Sodom, and he chose that area. And so after Lot chose, then God said, Abraham, now you look to the other side, look to the love, and all that your eyes can see, I'm giving you. So you got to look at that time in your life that when God chooses to bless you, you can't even give it away. So here where we were, we was at the point of settling. And at the point where I finally succumbed to the idea of the school of choice on the settlement, it was no longer an option on the table. Now, granted, you know, my son was extremely curious at that time. You know, hey, Dad, you know, you're manipulating, and now I don't have anywhere to go. So God said 3 days, so we began to fast for those 3 days, trusting God. First 2 days, being obedient. Third day, silence. I'm down with what I heard from God. I'm telling my wife, we seen them. I said, man, did I miss it? And at the end of the day, that third day, that fourth day, phone's ringing off the hook. He had choices, you know. And then God set it down again so we wouldn't make the bad choice. And he chose it for him. Like, we chose another choice. And then we got in the situation. It was there signing. And it was set down. So God is so awesome, man. So we look at that God changes your plans. Why? Because he wants to bless you with spiritual riches. Not only does he bless you with spiritual riches, but he blesses you with physical riches. Number three, the reason why God changes our plans. So let me look to some scriptures while we're just back up. Let's look at Ephesians 1 and 3. I'm sorry. I began to speak, and I got to always back it up with the word. Look at this. This was my scripture when I was in one of my incarcerations. Lord, I've been bad, but Lord, I thank you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How many know that everything you need, everything you're desiring, is with every spiritual blessing? It's already there. It's in the heavenly realm. So we got to get to a place where we call down the supernatural into the natural. We gotta be in the place where we even make our harvest and our seed have a divine appointment. He said, brother, how do I get to that point? I get to that point by praying, by praising, by worshiping, by believing, by staying steadfast, by trusting God, by saying, God, if you said, I believe it, and I begin to watch you move. God changes the course of our lives very easy, very simple. By trusting him, by being in position. Tonight, we got to learn how to get in position with God. Tonight, we got to get into a place in position, get into a place. What position are you in? Where are you when you're praying to God at night? What position are you in? See, you got to look at, Satan already knows position, but it's people. Even when you look at yoga, they got certain positions, and those positions are certain positions of worship. But we just do it ignorantly, not knowing. But what position are you in when you begin to praise your God? Are you laying broken and prostrate on your face? Are you on your knees? Are you just sitting in the bed? Praying with your head halfway, praying halfway asleep. What are you doing? Are you wondering why am I getting results or why I'm not getting results? But God said, I'm trying to get something to you. When Jacob fought God, when he changed his name from Jacob to Israel and Peniel, when you get a chance, you can look at it, Genesis 32, verses 22 is when it begins. And he began to wrestle God and said, what's your name? He said, Jacob, no longer your name is Jacob, but it's Israel. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He wrestled and held on. Sometimes you gotta hold on until he bless you. I'm not going to let go of God until you bless me. That's the mindset we need to have tonight. Now we look at Matthew 16, 21 through 23, when it says God is what? Moving us back to his will. What is God's will for your life? What is God's plan for your life? Do you know? Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here? I have a spiritual father named Bishop or Apostle Milton Perry. And he's always have a lot of little rhymes when he preached and little stuff like that. But he's always say, George, your birth on earth has worth. And I hold on to that. So I look at it and I say, my birth on earth has worth. And it has to be because I'm still here. Because when you work this, God don't need you anymore, then you no longer have room to be here in this earth. You no longer, that heartbeat begins to leave. It leaves. So when you look at my birth on earth has worth, then why is that? What am I here for? God, what's the reason why you allow me to wake up every morning? Even if it was to do evil, you still allow me to wake up because you knew at one time, even when you told them that you said that it will be spitting in my mouth, you said, I would rather you be hot or cold instead of lukewarm because even if you're cold, and when I turn you, that same energy, that same what you had going on, you're going to be that same for me. But lukewarm, son of the fence, I have no use for you. But then I asked God, okay, God, how do you move me back to your will? I look at when my life was in disarray and out of order. I remember having to do 90 days in boot camp, and I remember God just began to say, I'm changing you for the greater. I'm changing you for my greater good. I'm changing you because this is what I have for you. This is what I have designed for you. This is what I have desired for you. And all of this is what I have purpose for you. You have been ordained a prophet within your mother's womb. Now it's time for you to step into the calling and the choosing. So God allows changes to happen. And the reason why God changes our plans is because now I got to get you back to where you belong. Every time when I was hustling, I got to a point where I think this is, you know, I guess God felt this is a place of no return or that political point where I was like, okay, I'm here now, no looking back. Something happens. Something happened, and then I have to get back, you know, to a place of humility. I say pride come before the fall, and God began to work on me. And God, granted, I'm angry. Granted, I'm angry with God. It's been plenty of times that in my ignorance and in my foolishness, I've had attitudes with God and feeling like he's sold me short and made me change. I know my daughter was mad with me one time when I got up from college and brought her home because, you know, the life she was living wasn't in my eyesight. I'm just saying me. I found out some stuff with God. It's something about me and God and having a relationship with me. He always let me know what my children are doing. You know what my wife doing? When she be thinking she's slick sometimes. So good. I love that lady. Her birthday coming up to tomorrow. So we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Tonight I'm going to have y'all sing happy birthday. No, I'm just playing. But no, seriously though, Well, my daughter's doing that, and I went to school and got out of school. She was mad, kicking and screaming. But that's what we do. That's why God say bind. Whatever you bind on earth, we bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, we'll be loose in heaven. So I look at the bounding and kicking and screaming and how mothers have to look sure they step to them. No matter how much they kick and scream, they're not going anywhere. So I look at how much times I kicked and screamed and didn't want to be what God wanted me to be. But when God changed my plans, there's nothing I could do about it but just accept his will for my life. So we look at number three and say, God is moving us back to his will. And the scripture that back is up is Matthew 16, 21 to 23. And the reason is this. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, for far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So we look at this thing right here. We look at taking up the cross, and you look at the next verse, it tells us about taking up the cross and following God. But we look at how God is moving us back to his will. And even then, you look at the wars and rumors of wars, and you look at the different things that you see on television, and the more you look at it, the more conviction come up in you, like, man, I'm not supposed to be living this way. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And God shows you the other side just to draw you closer to him. Reason why God changes our plans. The Holy Spirit is directing us back to the will of God. We look at John 16:25. We look at Romans 8:14. Let's look at Romans 8:14 first. Romans 8:14-7. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The spiritual receipt does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spiritual receipt brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So we look at the Holy Spirit is directing us back to the will of God for our lives. And we just said that even then, if we are led by the Spirit of God, then we are what? We are the children of God. And it says the spirit we receive does not make us slaves, but we do become slaves to righteousness. But we're not slaves as far as slaves in bondage. So I say he that the Son makes free is definitely free indeed. And as I began, they said don't live in fear. So I said don't live in fear, don't live in doubt. I don't have to be a slave to doubt and to fear and to unbelief and not knowing. But he said, rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. I know who I am. I'm no longer a bastard. I'm a son. I'm the son of God. I'm a child of the most high living God, the one and true living God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And only that, I'm a joiner to the throne with my big brother, Yeshua HaMashiach, and we can say Jesus Christ. So we look at these things, and the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, we are children and we are heirs, heirs of God. That's awesome. That's awesome. Then we look at John 16:25, and it reads. Give me a second. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask him in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved him. And I believe that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto me, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speak no proverb. Now we are sure that thou know all things and need not that any man should ask thee by this. We believe that thou came forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Then he said, Behold, the hour comes, and now it's come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in time you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. See, the Holy Spirit is not bringing us back to the will of God, because there's sometimes when we're not of good cheer. There's sometimes when we go through persecution, we go through tribulations. And I look at the reason why God changed. I look at, is God changing our course? And it's funny, me and my son, we had this conversation an hour ago, talking about the things that we went through when we had the school. And God changed our course. And I look at the plan was started. We had a plan to do 5-year, 10-year plan with the school. It didn't make it. But God changed our course to do other things, and we still didn't stop loving. We still didn't stop sowing seeds. But at a time in that season, there was a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, a lot of disease, because it was a dis-ease, a lot of discomfort, a lot of stress, a lot of loss. But God used all that stuff that Satan did to bring forth a destruction to us, and he used it for his glory and for our better good. So I just thank God for that. I thank God that, yes, he changed the course. Yes, it was in the direction that we were going in. But God had a plan, and it superseded our plan. And Satan used his vices, he used his people to thwart it. But we give God the glory. And all that, for he said in this world, you shall have tribulation. And in this world, we have tribulation, trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What a mighty God we serve. But I told you, sometimes God has to start us on our journey before he changes our course. Here's the last one. Watch this. Romans 10. Here's the last one. Scripture said, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. Is that right? For I testify about them that they have a certain enthusiasm for God, but not in accordance with God with correct and vital knowledge about him and his purposes. For not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness based on works. How many know someone is living on their works and think their works are going to get them to heaven? And not trying to live by faith. But our scripture tells us what, ladies and gentlemen? The just shall live by faith. It said, they did not submit to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law. It leads to him, and his purposes is fulfilled in him, for granting righteousness to everyone who believes in him as Lord and Savior. So here's the thing right here we're going to go to. The last one, but the reason why God changes our course and changes our plans. Agree or disagree? Change of plans are not outside God's plan. Say that again. The change of your course is not outside of what God has purposed for you, for your course. I know I had some things in my head when, even prior to my marriage, this and that. Or whatever I had my thoughts of, whatever my plan was. And my wife had a book she wrote, and God, this is what I want, that's what I want. I met some of those criteria, but there's a few of them that I didn't meet. Well, I wish he wanted me to be tall. Well, that didn't happen. So you got to look at, but God's plan superseded her plan. My plan, God's plan superseded my plan because I had thoughts and issues that I had. But God changed. And guess what? God's plan, changing your plan, or the change of our plans, does not mean that we're outside of God's plan. The change of our will does not mean that we're outside of God's will. So that's the thing you got to look at. No matter if you feel it's good or bad. Now let's look at the fifth verse. It said, for Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness, which is based on law, with all his intricate demands, shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith, which produces a right relationship with him, says the following. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. As if we had to be saved by our own efforts, doing the impossible. But what does it say? It says the word is near you. The word is well? It's near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, recognizing his authority and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then what they say, you will be saved. For if the heart of man believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin, and made acceptable to God, and with the mouth he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. But the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, trust in, and rely on him will not be disappointed. So it says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. in his expectations, for there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all. And he is abounding in riches and blessings for all who call on him in faith and prayer. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved. I just need to say this. How many know people that have been in the occult, know people that are atheists, know people that say, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know, it's people that feel that way and speak that way. I remember the first time when I met my wife, when we got together, 15 years ago. And I did a revival in Moss Corner, South Carolina. There was a young kid. He was like 6 years old, 7 years old. He was in the same hotel we were in. And me and the kid had a long conversation. This kid was a part of the Nation of Islam kid. And the kid told me that Jesus was a baddie. And I don't believe in Jesus. He's a baddie. He's a bad guy. And I'm like, wow, what would make him a bad guy? And it was what the kid was told. So you look at these things and, but then what if the kid down the line came to the lodge and said, man, maybe Jesus Christ is not so bad. I look at myself. I look at the things that I've done and encountered and how Christ changed me. And I'm so grateful for the change. I'm so grateful for what he's brought me from. And he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved. I remember being having my back to the wall and or in the bed and I had to call on him. How many know he answered? And I was saved. Sanctified, delivered, set free from my foolishness, set free from my thoughts and my plan, and set free from those things that kill me hostage to sin and a sinful nature. Because I changed my plans for his plans. The word said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And here we go. Well, we miss it because we got so much of our own plans, our own thoughts on how this thing goes. But it said, how will people call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, a messenger? And how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent for that purpose? Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things and good tidings. So right now we got a word inside of us. The word is in you. The word is near you. It's in your heart. How many of you know it's time to regurgitate that word? It's time to share that word and time to let some people know about the goodness of your God, the reason why you live, you move, you have your being. Some, you had your course, and you were going in your direction until you had your Damascus Road experience, and God changed your course. And until you was picked up by Christ and said, follow me, and you chose to follow him. So now is the time that you become a disciple, a true disciple of Christ, and begin to evangelize and carry this word, carry this gospel. That they said the word is near you, right? The word is near you. The word is in your mouth, and it's in your heart. Is the word truly in your heart? Is it truly in your mouth? Or if it is, then why not share it? Why not tell somebody tonight or tomorrow? Give them your testimony. Give them, testify to the goodness of Jesus. But he said, but they do not all pay attention to the good news of salvation. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from what, ladies and gentlemen? Hearing. And what is heard? Hearing by the word of God, by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. But here he said, but I said they did not hear. Indeed, they have. Their voice, that of creation, bearing God's message, has gone out of all the earth, and their words to the farthest ends of the world. But I said it is Israel failed to understand that gospel was to go also to the Gentiles. First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not of a nation. And with a nation that lacks understanding, I will make you angry. And so you look at the things that makes you jealous. Think of things that make you angry. Think of things that make you envious. Think of things that make you covetous, that you covet, things that you desire that the next man have. And why do you desire these things? Because you say, your God is a God is not a one that takes politics. He don't play the politics game. He's not the one that favors one less than the other. But he said, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate it. So I guess that's different. But hear what God is saying, though. I don't have respect for people, so what I do for the others, I can do for you. So why would I envy what the next man have when I know God is ready to give it to me? Because we read in Ephesians 1 and 3 that he says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places stored up for me. So the first thing I need to do is get into the word and let the word get in my heart and in my tongue so I can begin to speak the word. Christ told the devil, he said, it is written. Why? Because he had the word. He knew the word. Most of us can't fight these battles. Most of us, of course, get changed for the verse and for the greater instead of for the greater because we don't know the word. We can't even speak to the storm. that's in our lives to be say, peace, be still. We can't even, you know, when there's a rumbling and a rolling, we can't put our hand up as Christ did and say, peace, be still. And when it's raining and that storm comes, and Jacob and Joshua was fighting with that man, Moses held up and said, hey, I command the storm, I command the sun to stay up until this war is over. You got to begin to command some things. You got to begin to speak some things. And God said, I change your course, and I change it for the greater, but you got to begin to speak it, even in the midst of the storm. Because I tell the storm, you have to cease. In the midst of the confusion, I say, peace be still. In the midst of the rocking and the rolling, I say, hey, calm yourself down. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the not knowing, I say, God, my God is the God of all-knowing. He's the omnipotent, all-knowing, omnipresent one. And if I just go and ask and speak to him, he say, you have not because you ask not. I can seek wisdom. He said, those who ask for wisdom, God gives it to them gratefully and graciously and abundantly and abound. So I'm saying that this tonight is that our course changed. And though our course may change, he said the change of plans are not outside of God's plan. So those of course change. And his brothers put them in a ditch, and his brothers sent them to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites sold them to Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife got them thrown in prison. Think how many different changes he had in his life. Though your course changed, he went from the pit to the palace overnight. And then when his brothers approached him, their course changed. They went into a drought. He was able to provide for them. He said, you meant evil, but God provided for my good. Though we look at that, faith plus patience equals promise. I look at a woman that's pregnant, and in those 9 months of that pregnancy, she goes through certain things. Her body goes through a metamorphosis, and though her course changed, it doesn't mean that she's outside of God's will. And at that time, the 9 months, and when it's time for her to give birth, then the isolation and through all the pain that she went through in those moments. But when she gives birth to that child, that pain dissipates because it didn't move her out of God's will, but it pushed her into the will of God. For he said, be fruitful and multiply. I just want to let you know that though our plans change, though our course change, it doesn't mean that we're outside of God's will. It means that God is doing something for us. Jesus, work it out for my good. I said it enough. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, God. We thank you that sometimes you start us out on our journey, God, before you change our course. And we begin to thank you for that tonight. We thank you for all that you've done and doing and yet going to do in our lives and how you continue to cover us, shield us, and protect us for your greater good. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, that God, that they know that the word is near them. It's in their voice. It's in their heart. And they'll begin to activate that word. They'll begin to speak, God. And only that, God, that they'll begin to get into the word. As David said, your word I hid in my heart so that I may not offend thee. There come a time that sooner or later that we won't even be able to have this word in this Bible without having persecution and tribulation. There's so many people that are being murdered for this Bible, being murdered for wearing a cross around the neck, being murdered for saying that I am a believer in Christ Jesus. But he said, you have not had the resistance to blood at this time and this hour, but the time will come when you will have to. So now you need to know the word. Get into the word so that you'll know the season. And that season always brings about a change. But know the season that you're in with God and ride the wave. I thank you, I praise you, and I worship the Holy Spirit for allowing us to be humble enough and meek enough to give you our burden and to trust you with it and allow you to take us through. Well, God will get us through it. We know there's always you to get us through it. We share this in love. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so it is. And we're at that point again where we can share. We can add to it. We can take away. And if you have anything you want to add to or take away, you press 1. I can recognize you. But the key thing that we're talking about tonight is that is God changing my plan, my course? Or has God changed my course? And if anyone want to talk about God changing their course, press 1, I can recognize you, and you can speak to that fact. If not, my son is in town, we'll allow him to do the benediction tonight. But if anybody want to share before we sit down, we want to talk about God changing your course. See, nobody wants to share, so the next voice you hear is my own son, Anthony Rice. He been running from his course too. God gonna change it though, because when he was younger, he was a little prayer warrior. He got to an age where he started smelling himself. He didn't want to pray no more. He just wanted to go to people's parents' house and got a crush on the girl's parents so they can cook food for him. So God got to save him. I'll pray for Anthony. I'll change his course again. 1436, your mic is open. God bless you.
I just want to thank God for being online tonight to listen to your powerful word that he has given you to give to us tonight, because that is true about all of us. Sometimes we hold in things, and we know God has some kind of calling on our life, because we think about all the time he saved our life when we was in situations, and we know it couldn't have been nobody but him. But then sometimes we take out the time to lean onto our understanding and try to believe what we want to believe and do what we want to do. But when it's all boils out, we have to do what God tells us to do and stop worrying about what the world think of us and think about what God think of us and what have God destined us to do for him and to his glory and not for us. So I just thank God that I was able to listen to what you were talking about, because it makes a whole lot of sense. You just got to have the faith and believe in what we're hearing. And how can we learn if we don't have a preacher that God sent to teach us the things that we need to know about him? Because we can't just know about him by listening by word of mouth. We got to listen to a preacher, ordained person that God has sent in our life to tell us these things, and we can see them and see how they do manifest in our life. And we can be real sick, and when our bodies start to heal from prayer, because the prayer of the righteous prevails much. But once we start to see any things, we can't do nothing but believe. And we can look at the sky and see, man can't make the sky like that. Man can't make it rain like that. God is real. And I thank you for bringing it to our knowledge tonight. And I thank you for your wife and your family.
Praise God. We thank you for that illumination of the word. That's powerful. That's very powerful. We just praise God for it. We thank God for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to just share with him and be in the worship. Thank you for this that is made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. So as we continue to close again, if anybody else want to add to or take away, press one to be recognized. If not, the next voice you'll hear will be none other than my son, Anthony Rice.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Flint. I want to thank God for life of the sin. Thank you for giving us this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning, keeping us in the right minds. I want to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to hear and witness the word that was given tonight and allowing us to use in our everyday lives. Lord God, I want to ask you to continue to guide our paths, Lord God, guide our decisions and our reactions to things, Lord God. And I just want to thank you for allowing us to make it through another year, Lord God, and blessing us up to this point, Lord God, for everything that we've been through, everything that we've gone through, Lord God. I just want to thank you for it all leading up to now and us being better people than we were last year, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the holidays that's coming up. Everyone staying safe and everyone enjoying it. Ask for forgiveness for anything that we've said, done, or thought that was against the will of the way, then it's please your spirit. To allow us to become better people going into this next year, Lord God, and remember the lessons and the things that you taught us in the trials and tribulations that made us grow, Lord God, going into 2019. I want to thank you for family, friends, and loved ones, and I ask that everyone have a safe night, enjoy your holidays, and we'll be back next Thursday. And I pray so it is. You guys have a great one.